Matthew chapter 17. I've told them at the back that they should just flag me up regularly so that if you give me the opportunity, we will be here till 3 o'clock. You know, it's always when you have a lot to say, but there's not enough time. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Are you there? If you say you're there, say amen. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water.' Verse 16, 'So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?'" Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." It says, because of your unbelief. But assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, if you have faith as a mustard seed, if you have faith that is as small as a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," it will happen for you. This morning, I just want to talk to you briefly, the few minutes we have, about something I've titled Principles of Kingdom Living, Part 2. Or if you want a subtitle, you can call it Faith as a Mustard Seed. You know, last week I started by talking about certain things. I believe that it's very important for us to talk about the principles required for kingdom living. Because the good thing about principles is that as long as you apply the principles or laws, they will always work for you. And I think it's very imperative that we talk about the principles of kingdom living. Because some of these principles are the things that will make us fruitful in life. They are the things that will make us fruitful in our Christianity. They will make us fruitful in our everyday life. And as we have been saying throughout this year, God wants us to be fruitful. His desire for us, His design for us, His purpose for us is for us to be fruitful in our endeavors. He wants us to be fruitful spiritually. He wants our marriages to be fruitful. He wants your business to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in your career. He wants us to be fruitful in every area, every facet of our life. And once you begin to understand some of these principles and apply it, you'll find out that it will enhance your fruitfulness. It will make you more fruitful in the things that you do. So that's why I've chosen to spend time talking about the principles of kingdom living. And we started last week by talking about one of those principles for kingdom living. We started last week by examining a heart of compassion. We looked at what it means to have a heart of compassion. We looked at the love that we have for ourselves and for those outside as Christians. And we basically based it on the text that talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learned a couple of things. That it's not based on your title. It is not based on who they say you are. But in reality, your heart makes a lot of difference. We saw from the action of the priests, how he acted towards a wounded man. A priest that you'd expect would have a heart of compassion just walked past. We saw the Levite. The Levite looked at the wounded man and walked on. The Levites were those in those days that used to be the ones that would carry the ark of God. They would be they were the worshippers. They were the ones that went before the other tribes. So you would expect that they would have the heart, the mind of Christ, because the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. And I made you understand that the fact that you are a Christian does not necessarily mean that you have the heart of compassion, which a lot of people don't have. But it's interesting that the Good Samaritan is the one that stopped by, saw the wounded man, picked him up, bandaged the wounds, and carried him to an inn and cared for him. I won't spend so much time, but just for the sake of those that are not here, I'm just laying the foundation. And, you know, we looked at that parable and we saw that our action is very key as a Christian. It's very important for us to have love. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul spoke about love, but he said something to, he concluded that you may have faith, you may have hope and love, but love is the greatest. He said that I may speak like angels, I may speak tongues like angels, but if I don't have love, then it's all to no avail. Am I speaking to someone this morning? But we looked at that last week, and this morning I just want to continue along the lines of talking about the principle, one of the principles of kingdom living. And my focus this morning is on faith. Like I said, faith as a mustard seed. You know, faith is one of the tenets of Christianity. It is one of the key pillars of our Christianity. It is one of the key factors, the key things that holds up us up as Christians. Are you listening to me this morning? It is personally, I believe that it is one of the most important parts of our life, that is faith. You see, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says without faith, it is impossible. It is not possible to please God. He then goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that makes me understand that if I don't have faith, God is not pleased with me. It means that if I don't have faith, then it is difficult for me to please God the way God wants to be pleased with me. And the cover stands that whenever I have faith, then God is pleased with me. Am I making sense? Now, I don't doubt at all that we don't have faith. Because the truth of the matter is the fact that you're sitting here this morning means you have a bit of faith. I mean, for you to be seated here listening to a foolish thing like the Bible says, speaking to you, it means you have faith. For you to have given your life or said that you want to become a Christian or you want to come here and you believe in a God that you do not see, you do have faith. But that is the basic level of faith, because that is faith for salvation. But I believe strongly that the faith that Jesus was talking about when he spoke about faith as a mustard seed is deeper than the faith for salvation. He's talking about another level of faith. Listen to me. Paul further illustrates the importance of faith in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. He says that now abide faith, hope, and love. So he stated or listed faith as one of the three key things that we should practice. Amen? So faith is very key. It is very important. I am emphasizing that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, somebody here will be thinking about, Pastor, I have faith. I agree with you, we have faith. But the challenge is that there's faith and there's faith, in quotes. What do I mean by that? When the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God, what the Bible is talking about is unwavering faith in the face of challenges. What it's talking about is unwavering faith in the face of trials and tests. It's talking about unwavering faith in the face of tribulations, persecutions, unwavering faith whereby your faith remains and there's no doubt. That's what the Bible is talking about there. In fact, if you were to search through the scriptures, the Bible, you'll find out that on a number of occasions, if you just did a quick search through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, you'll find out that on a number of occasions, Jesus commended various people for their faith. On various occasions, he said, your faith has made you well. I have not seen such faith in this land. He says that, your faith, that according to your faith, let it be unto you. Jesus was basically saying that based on the faith you have, things have happened to you. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible talks about a centurion. And it says that based on the faith the centurion showed, Jesus said that, I have never seen such faith, not even in Israel. In fact, he didn't say such faith. He said such great faith. Not even in Israel. So Jesus was saying that, hey, listen to me. The fact that you believe that there can a healing can come based on just my word without me going, that is faith. And Jesus was indicating that I am pleased with that level of faith. He was saying that I'm pleased that you have so much faith in my word to believe that I can heal without being present. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You know, in Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood. It says that when the woman, when she saw the crowd, she said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment. And she believed that that touching the hem of the garment would heal her of her illness and disease. And the Bible says that when she touched the hem of his garment, it says immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus knew that something had come out. Listen to me. The power that came out of Jesus was not based on Jesus touching her. Jesus did not need to pray for the woman. It was based on the faith. Her faith drew virtue out of Jesus. Jesus was saying that, hey, somebody touched me. In fact, when the woman touched Jesus, she knew something had happened. He knew something had happened. And the Bible tells us that Jesus commended her and said that your faith has made you well. Listen to me. Jesus did not have to pray for the woman. You know that? Jesus did not touch the woman. He did not lay hands on the woman. All the woman did was to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And based on that, her faith caused her to be healed of something she had carried around for 12 years. My goodness. That tells me that having faith is very key to me entering or being delivered of certain things. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about this morning. You know, just to continue, just a brief whatever. In Matthew 9:29, the Bible says that Jesus touched the eyes of two blind men. And when he touched the eyes, he said something. He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Listen to me, that makes me understand that if those two blind men did not have the faith, Jesus could have touched them and they would not have been healed. Because he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. Which means that if they did not have the faith, whatever they had, is what would happen to them. So if they didn't have the faith, and we know that Jesus carried a level of anointing and power. So there was no disputing the level of anointing and power that Jesus carried. It was based on the faith those people had, the two blind men, that would have determined whether they received their healing or not. Why am I speaking to someone this morning? So, I could go on and on, but you'll find out that on various occasions, Jesus commended, he laid the importance, the foundation for us, that faith is important. Faith is very key. Faith is critical to us. It is critical to us entering into our destiny. It is key to us being delivered of certain things. It is key to us entering into our promised land. It is very key to the things we do as a Christian, to us achieving our purpose. Faith is very important. In fact, on the converse, on the other hand, you find sometimes that Jesus reprimanded his disciples for their lack of faith. So, one time he said, oh, faithless generation. O ye of little faith. Why? Because they did not have enough faith. And he reprimanded them that, hey, you ought to have more faith than this. What am I talking about? There is no doubt in my mind that our faith pleases God, and the level of faith we have makes a difference in our life. Let me repeat that in case you didn't get that. Your faith, the faith you have, pleases God. But not just pleases God. It determines what happens in your life. It determines what happens, where you get to. It can determine your altitude. It can determine your healing, your blessings, the promises God has for you. Whether you enter into your calling or not. Whether you enter into your ministry. Whether you start a business God has given you. Whether you take the territory that is meant to be yours. It determines, your faith determines what happens in your life. It makes a difference in our lives. And just looking closely at Matthew chapter 17. You know, we read it earlier. The Bible tells us that a man brought his child to the disciples, and they could not cast out the demon. So they struggled too. And then Jesus appeared on the scene, and he cast out the demon. And then the disciples asked him privately that why could they not cast it? You know, his answer, his response to that question is quite interesting. And I just want us to take a closer look at this. He said something. He said something in verse 20, his response. He said that because of your unbelief, let me read from 19 so that we get it put in context. He said, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? That's the demon. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. I'm not sure if you got that. He said that nothing happened because of the unbelief. The power did not flow because of the unbelief. The anointing you have did not flow because of your unbelief. He said because of your unbelief. And then he went on to say something. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. My goodness. He said something. He said, he told them that if they had faith, if they had faith as a mustard seed, that they will say to this mountain to move from here to there. Oh my goodness. I believe that this gives us an insight, a key insight into kingdom living. Because the insight starts with Jesus saying that, hey, for you to have results in your life, you must not doubt. Thank you. Get this? He said that for you to have results in your life, you must not doubt. He said, because of your unbelief. Listen to me. Personally, I believe that the disciples must have had some kind of faith for them to have even attempted to try to cast out the demon. But you know what I think happened? And this is my interpretation. But I'm entitled to it based on what Jesus said there. Because he said, because of their unbelief. What I believe happened is that they had the faith, but they doubted. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We believe, but then we doubt. We believe, and then the unbelief sets in when we don't see or when we think of certain things. And interestingly enough, what Jesus was saying that, look, listen to me, guys. He said that if you have faith as a mustard seed, now you cannot see this, but what I'm holding here is a mustard seed. It is so tiny, it is minute that you cannot see it. And what Jesus was saying there is that all you need to have is something, faith, that is as small as this, and you'll see results. He was saying that as long as you have faith as small as this, no matter how small it is, don't doubt or have unbelief. Just have that, just this small level of faith, and you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will happen for you. But as long as you don't doubt, listen to me. You see, when I look at this mustard seed, and I see how small it is, it makes me to understand that I don't need a massive amount of faith. When I look at this and I think of the illustration Jesus gave, it makes me realize that, hey, as long as I can just grab hold of a little bit of faith in my spirit, hey, and hold on to it, and not doubt, and just believe that, hey, this based on this small level of faith that I have, I don't need to have the kind of faith that Benny Hinn has. It would be good to get there. I don't have to need to have the kind of faith that Smith Wigglesworth has. Of course, it would be good to get there. I don't have to need to have the kind of faith that Abraham has. It would be good to have it. But well, before I get to that level, all I need to have is this small one. If I can hold on to this small one and not doubt what God has said, and not doubt God's promises for me, as long as I can hold on to this small one, it's so small, it's slipping out of my hands. As long as I can hold on to this small one, I can see results in my life. Listen to me. I don't doubt that we don't have faith. The truth is, we all have faith. I mean, the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says something. It makes us to understand that God has given us a measure of faith. And just like I said, the disciples had faith, but they doubted. There was unbelief. You see, the challenge with a lot of us is we have faith, but then unbelief comes in. And we waver between faith and doubt. On the one hand, we believe that God can heal me. On the other hand, you are thinking that, hey, but God, I'm not sure you can do it, you will do it for me. On the one hand, we believe that God is able to do great and mighty things. On the other hand, you are thinking that I'm not sure it will happen in my lifetime. On the one hand, we believe that God is the God of the impossible. On the other hand, you are thinking that, yes, he does the impossible in other people's life, but he won't do it for me. So, we have the faith, but we're wavering between it. And that's what Jesus is saying. He was telling his disciples that, hey, listen to me. What you need is to hold on to the little one you have and don't doubt. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You see, you need to get this. A bit of wavering causes your faith to be weakened. We see the example in the scriptures. Where there was a time when Jesus was walking on water, and Peter and the disciples were in the boat. And then Peter said, oh, if it's you, they were scared, they thought it was a ghost. And he said, if it is you, call me to come forth. And Jesus said, come. So Peter stepped out and started walking. Listen to this. He focused on Jesus. He had faith up to that stage. But at one stage, he saw the circumstances around him. When he looked at the boisterous wind, the stormy waters, the Bible says that he became afraid. And the minute his faith wavered, the minute doubt set in, he started to sink. Do you know that this is the kind of life a lot of us live? We have the faith, but we begin to waver. We begin to doubt certain things. And what happens? That's when we begin to have challenges, or we begin to sink, and we think, hey, it's not working. And we begin to struggle, and then we get some faith, and we struggle again. Oh my God, am I making sense? The minute you begin to waver, it causes your faith to weaken. You know, when I think of what Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Jesus said something. He said that same scenario, same scripture, just to emphasize. He said something. He said, verse 20, he said, And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. We've seen that somewhere before. The scripture we read earlier, he said something. He said, unbelief. And then he used another word here. He said that, if you have faith and do not doubt. So that makes me to understand that you can have faith and doubt. But he was saying, if you have faith and do not doubt. He then went on to say that. He said that if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done for you. Verse 22. And then he said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you have faith and do not doubt, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed and do not doubt, as you pray and you believe and hold on to that faith, you will receive. You know, let me just before I go on, let me just point out one or two things. We can see this mustard seed. It's very small, very tiny. When I look at it, I think to myself that if Jesus can use the mustard seed as an illustration of the minimum level of faith that we need to get results in our life, if it is used as the minimum level of faith that we require to be fruitful, if it's used as the minimum level of faith that we need in order to remove obstacles that may be hindering us from entering into our destiny, into our purpose, into what God has called for us, if that is all I need, then there is hope. I feel encouraged. Because I think to myself, Lord, if this is all you are saying, and if I can have this, I'm assured that I will speak to mountains and they'll be removed. If I can have this, I'll speak to the principalities in this city and they'll be removed. They'll be overcome. This level of faith without doubting, it gives me hope. I don't know about you, but it gives me hope. It makes me think that we have hope. Amen? You know, let me tell you one or two things about the mustard seed. The mustard seed is, it said that it can grow in any climate in the world. It is said that the mustard seed can grow in both hot and cold climates. So it's not based on the weather. It's not based on a particular type of climate. As long as the mustard seed can get into the soil, it begins to grow. What does this mean to us? It means that your faith is not based on your location. Your faith is not based on your physical, it's not based on whether you live in the Milton Keynes or you live in London or you live in another country. It's not based on your physical location. You know, mustard seed can grow in hot and cold climates. So, what that means is that the mustard seed creates its own environment for it to grow. Whether it is hot or cold, it creates its own environment and nutrients that will cause it to germinate and grow. The same way, that means that no matter where you may be placed, as long as it is God that has planted you in that place, that as long as it is God that has planted you, what you need to do is create that environment that will cause your faith to grow, that will cause you to blossom, that will cause you to be successful, that will cause you to be fruitful, that will cause you to enter into the calling of God for your life. As long as God has placed you in a location. You know, I was using the example earlier. I know without a shadow of doubt that God has called us to Milton Keynes, that we have been planted here. Now, if by reason of my thinking, and I decide that, oh, I would like to relocate my family to the United States of America, or back to the country where I come from, and I decide that we are going to pack our things, we're going to go to maybe Atlanta or Miami where it's nice and hot, you know, nice and hot. I would love to go. Why didn't you call us to Hawaii? Hawaii. Anyway, you know, where it's nice and hot, and I, you know, if I decide that we're going to pack our things and go and relocate there, do you know that if God has not planted me there, I'll struggle. But if God has planted me in a location, if God plants me in Alaska, where Sarah Palin comes from, if God plants me in Alaska, listen to me, I don't like the cold. But all I need to do is create the environment that is hot enough to create the anointing of God to fall down. And what will happen? I will get results. You need to understand something. Your faith is not based on where you are physically located. You may be in the hospital, and the doctors may have just given you a negative report. This should not determine your faith for healing. You may be in an office where you are the only Christian. This should not impact the kind of faith you carry. You see, the mustard seed is said to grow in any type of soil. It grows in any type of soil. Wherever soil you find yourself in, listen to me, all you need to do is have faith as a mustard seed. Hey! And to begin to say, my faith as a mustard seed. And as long as you have that, you begin to see results. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Let me try to start rounding up. Let me talk about a couple of things that will help us understand and appropriate our faith better. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people talk about faith. A lot of people say, I'm believing God, I have faith and things, but I'm not sure we really fully understand what it means. You know, a lot has been written about faith, a lot has been preached. But let me just try to add my own little bit to some of the things that you may have heard. And the first thing I just want to mention that will help us to understand and appropriate our faith better is the fact that faith is a choice and it's not based on the condition around you. Let me repeat that. Your faith is a choice you make, and it is not based on the conditions around you. Listen to me. Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard Jesus was coming, the Bible says there was a crowd, that there were loads of people around there. But listen to me. The condition around him did not determine his faith. People were around. In fact, when he started shouting, the condition was telling him, keep quiet. The circumstances around him was telling him, keep quiet. You are making too much noise. But his faith was greater than the condition. Oh, my goodness. In my country, years ago, there was this song that they used to sing. It says, no condition is permanent in this world. You see, the condition you may be in is not permanent. But your faith needs to be permanent. Oh, my goodness, I'm speaking good. Your faith needs to be permanent. The truth of the matter is that you can choose to believe God, or you can choose to believe the circumstances, the report that you have been given. You can choose to believe the truth or believe the facts. The facts is what really exists, in quotes. So the fact is what you see. So they might give you figures. Those are the facts of the economy. But you can choose to believe the truth that is in the Bible. It is a choice. Turn to the person next to you. Say, your faith is a choice. It is a choice. You know, the Bible says something. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? It means that the things I do should not be based on what I see physically. It should be based on the faith that I have. So that means that if the economy is telling me that there is a credit crunch, but because I choose to believe by faith the truth of the word of God that says that I will lend to nations and not borrow, that tells me that I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And whatever that in my season, my leaf will come forth and that I will prosper in all that I do. As long as I choose to believe that, as long as I choose to believe in the book of Joshua chapter 1, that says that if I meditate on the word of God day and night, and that by it my way will be made prosperous. If I choose to believe the word of God, that says in the book of Genesis 26, it says that Isaac planted in the land when there was a famine. It is not based on what I see. It is not based on what I see in my bank account that I give to God. If I choose to believe that, the Bible says Isaac in Genesis, that he planted in the land where there was a famine, and it became prosperous, and it became very prosperous. You see, you have a choice. You can choose to believe what you see or what the faith tells you. The truth of the matter is, at every point in time, you are making a choice. I said faith is a choice. When you choose not to believe, you just made a choice. You just made a choice at that point in time. My walk is by faith and not by the things that I see. My walk is by faith and not by the things that I hear. My walk is by faith and not by what the news. My walk is by faith and not by what the doctors say. I walk by faith, not by sight. That's the first thing. Faith is a choice. So you choose how and when you want to walk. Faith is a choice. And you need to understand that, because every time you doubt, you have made a choice. Every time you begin to waver or have unbelief, you have made a choice. As I'm speaking right now, some people are making choices in their mind that this man does not understand the circumstances that I'm going through. If he understands, he won't be talking about faith. You just made a choice. It is not based on what I'm saying. What I'm saying will not deliver you. What I'm saying will not change your circumstances. It is the choice you make, the faith you decide to appropriate, that will change your circumstance. Your faith is a choice. That's number one. Second thing is that your faith is in God and nothing else. Let me repeat that. Your faith is in God and nothing else. Listen to me, I said earlier, I said in the first service, I told, if you have faith in me, I'm sorry for you. I can't help you. If you have faith in your parents, you are in a mess. Sorry. If you have faith in your spouse, as in believing that it's your spouse that will deliver you from something, you are wasting time. Your faith is in God, or it should be in God and nothing else. Listen to me. You need to get this. You see, when you understand that our faith is in God, then you should find it easier to have faith. You see, in Mark 11 that we read earlier, Mark 11, 22, Jesus said something. He told his disciples, he said that, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He said, have faith in God. Now, when we understand that, and we say we have faith in God, then you find out that when doubt comes in, it should not be an issue. In fact, doubt should... Listen to me. I'm trying to bring this home. If you understand that God is the great one. If you understand that God is the all-powerful God, is the all-wise God, if you understand that God is the uncreated creator, if you understand that through his words, he framed the world, if you understand that God spoke or speaks things, or in Romans 4, it says that he speaks things that do not exist as if they did. If you understand that God is the one that has existed, is the ancient of days, he's the one that has existed before eternity. If you understand that he is the almighty one, if you understand that he's the one that created the heavens and the earth, if you have that understanding that he's the one that owns the cattle, the silver and the gold belong to him. My goodness. If you understand how great God is, then you will have an understanding that as long as I have faith in God, then whatever may be my life or I may be facing is not an issue. Because the Bible tells me in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 37, it says, with God, nothing will be impossible. If I understand that with God, nothing will be impossible. And the Bible tells me that with God, all things are possible. Now, if I have that understanding, you see, it does not take much for me to add one and one together and to realize that as long as my faith is in the God that is able to make the impossible become possible, then what issue, what challenges I'm facing, whatever mountain may be in my path, it's not an issue. As long as my faith remains in the God, listen to me, oh my goodness. In the book of Luke chapter 5, the Bible talks about Peter, that they had been fishing all night, they had caught nothing. But they met with the God that speaks the word and it becomes forth. They had caught nothing, they had been fishing all night. But the minute Jesus said that, cast your net upon the right side, he said, cast your net into the deep. What happened? Fish that they had not seen for years or all night. Let me use all night. That they had not seen all night. The same fish in the same sea. Am I speaking to someone? The same sea that they have been fishing, they caught a net-breaking catch. Listen, oh my goodness. You've got to get this. You've got to get this. If you can have that level of understanding that the God we serve makes all things possible, it means that things that have never happened before can happen with the God I serve. If I understand that, it means that what has never been seen before can be seen. You see, you need to get this. The minute you begin, or you begin to think that God cannot do something for you, in reality, it is an insult to God. Because you are saying the one that created you cannot create for you. The one that created the world, you are saying that something that is so minute, he cannot do it for you. It is an insult to God. If you begin to doubt the word of God concerning your life, then basically what you are saying is you are limiting God and you are limiting him to a mere man. Because with man, the Bible says with man, all things are not possible. With men, things are impossible. But not with God. So the minute you begin to think that, hey, God, I'm not sure you can do it for me, or you begin to doubt, what you are basically saying is you've limited his ability to the ability of me and you and I. You've basically put God in a box. You've determined what God can do and what he cannot do. The minute you begin to doubt and think, is it going to happen for me? That's what you've done. You need to get this. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30, the Bible says something. It says by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. It says by faith, listen to me, who would have thought, imagined in their mind,
Oh my goodness, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, it says to God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly much more than we can even think or imagine. It shows the amount that we cannot even imagine the things that God can do for us. We cannot even begin to imagine or think about how powerful he is. Hebrews 11, I was about to make a point. Hebrews 11 says something. It says that by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Listen to me. Who would ever have thought that a wall that was so thick that you could have, the historians say that chariots, I think about 6 chariots, could run on top of the wall, side by side. So it shows you how thick that wall would have been. How tall, how sturdy that wall was. Now, that wall, the same wall that was seemed impenetrable, it seemed like it was impossible to break down. The wall that was stopping the Israelites from entering into the promises of God for their life. The wall that was the hindrance between them and what God had promised from generations before them. The thing, the wall that seemed to be the obstacle, the last point for them to get into what they needed to enter, into their destiny. Who would have thought that the same wall would fall down without them hitting it? You know, they did not touch the wall. All they did, 7 times. And when they did that, not 7 times, 13 times, but 7 days. And when they did that, based on the faith they had in God, the walls came down. It was based on the faith they had in God. You see, listen to me. Get this. They had a choice. When God told them to do that, they could have chosen not to believe him. And if they had chosen not to believe him, they would not have entered into that city. They would not have entered into their calling. That's what happened when Moses sent the 12 spies out. When he sent the 12 spies out, and 10 of them came back with a negative report. What happened? The Israelites chose not to believe God and chose to believe the 10 spies. When you have faith in God, listen to me, every wall that seems impenetrable will come crumbling down. I pray in the name of Jesus that as you have faith in God, every obstacle, every mountain before you, it shall become a plain in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that based on your faith, according to your faith, that wall of Jericho that seems impenetrable, that is the last smack between yourself and your destiny and the calling God has upon your life. I pray in the name of Jesus that wall will come crumbling down in Jesus' name. He says, By faith, the walls came crumbling down. By faith, you will enter into the promises of God for your life. By faith, you will possess your territory. By faith, you will be fruitful. By faith, you will bring forth spiritual children in the name of Jesus. By faith, you reach out to the wounded in the name of Jesus. By faith, you will be used as a battle axe for God in the name of Jesus. By faith, the ministry that God has committed into your hands, you will start that ministry in the name of Jesus. By faith, every calling, every promise of God, every prophecy concerning your life that has been written, that has been spoken, that God has declared, that God may have spoken to you, every prophecy, every promise, by faith, you will enter into it in Jesus' name. By faith. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith Your faith in God is your weapon. Your faith in God is your weapon of mass destruction. Your faith in God is your sword. Your faith in God will cause you to enter. Your faith in God will make you to stand. Have faith in God. The last thing that I just want to mention. The last thing I want to mention is that your faith in God should be according to His will. No matter how great your faith is or how small it is, if it is not according to the will of God for your life, then He's not obliged to answer your prayers. Your faith in God must be according to His word that He has written. Your faith in God must be according to the Rhema word, the word He may have spoken to you privately. The challenge, the problem, is that a lot of people are trying to have faith for what is not theirs, what God has given somebody else. And as long as you continue to pray for something that God has not given you or spoken concerning you, no matter how much faith you have, God is not obliged to answer that prayer. Jesus said, have faith in God. After He said, have faith in God in Mark 11:22, He then went on to say that you speak to the mountain, and then He said, whatever things you ask. But He starts with having faith in God. You see, when He says, have faith in God, what it means is that what God has said concerning you, the promises that He's written, you know, there are some promises, some infallible promises that are in the Word of God. So in the Bible, there are some infallible promises that you can stand upon. But there are also some Rhema words that He will give to you personally. Now, when He says have faith in God, it means that, God, I believe you to do the things that you have spoken concerning me. And your prayers will be according to that. Because it is only those prayers that God will answer. It is only those prayers that are based on those words, the things that He wants for you, that He will give to you. As we try to close, I'm going to ask us to rise up. I just feel